We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
IMG College. This is the Aggie Coaches Show with Coach Craig Smith. Brought to you by Old Chicago Pizza and Taproom, Cache Valley's Pizza and Craft Beer Authority, Macy's, Happy Shopping, Guild Mortgage, Own What Matters, and by Locker 42, your source for Aggie apparel. Live from Old Chicago Pizza and Taproom, here's the voice of the Aggies, Scott Girard.
That's another edition of the Craig Smith Coaches Show. Welcome into the program. We are live here at Old Chicago. We got a great crowd out here, and we're excited to talk a little Utah State basketball. Craig Smith is with us. Alfonso Anderson is with us as well, and we got some Utah State basketball to break down. Coach, it's been a long time since we've done this. Good to chat with you again.
Hey, Scotty. Hey, welcome back, all the Aggie fans. Let's go, Aggies! We got a lot of familiar faces in here. We got a new face right here, but you got he's a fun guy to watch, as you guys have seen already, and he's relatively entertaining, too. So it's a win-win for all the Aggie fans. Well, it's great to be back.
It is great to be back, and what a start to the season. We're going to talk about getting off to a really great start to the year at 7-1, and you obviously, we'll talk a little bit about the St. Mary's game, but some crazy games in Jamaica, some entertaining games against some high-level opponents. And, you know, you and I talked a little bit after that last homestand. You're like, I know we've been home for a while, but giddy up. We're not going to be back for a bit, and that certainly has been the case.
Yeah, it's really felt like that on the drive over. I was just thinking about it, and you do the math, and we've been gone 10 of the last 12 days, and now we hit the road again tomorrow to San Jose, and so that's going to be another, you know, two more days. So we're going to be gone 12 of 14 days, I think, or something like that.
Yeah.
It's been a lot. Maybe it was 10 out of 14 days we've been gone, and so now 12 out of 16. So we got to be road warriors. The schedule, we knew scheduling that St. Mary's game where we did was not the most ideal, but when you're making your schedule, you don't always have the exact you don't always get the pick of the litter, so to speak.
Yeah.
And so it is what it is. And so, but we're excited to get into league play. It ramps up some things that way. And we had a really, really good practice today. And we need to follow that up again tomorrow and get ready for league play.
So a lot of people are, and I'm sure you've been asked this as well, a lot of people are looking at the conference schedule going, What are you playing conference games? So what happened, and you can correct me if I'm wrong here, there was a big car dealership.
You're never wrong, Scotty.
Oh, no. That happens a lot, by the way, just to make sure you all know that. But there's a big convention going on in Vegas during the time the Mountain West Conference Tournament was normally scheduled for. So they slid the conference tournament up a week, which means they slid conference play up before it normally would be. And so you're starting – I mean, these are the games that really, truly matter, and they begin this week.
Yeah, it's a different deal. None of the coaches are real excited about it, but it is what it is. So we get to schedule 31 regular season games. And so last year, we had a week off after we lost to Arizona State before we played Northern Iowa over Thanksgiving. Then over finals week, we also had a week off after we beat Weber State and then played Alabama A&M. So we had two where you can kind of really get practice time while maximizing your schedule and do all that. And now by shortening your schedule or season a week, like, you got to really jam in a ton of non-conference games in a very tight window, because we lost the week of our non-conference scheduling because of these two games.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's not ideal, but it's the same way for everybody in the Mountain West, and so this is how it goes. So that's why it just feels like we've had, like, very little practice time, you know, and today was really, really good. I thought we'd tighten some things up and got better at some things today. So, but that's the lay of the land, and you just got to negotiate through that the best that you can. And so so far, I think we've done that pretty well.
So I'm going to be a little selfish with you for a second, because first off, I was a little teed off that I wasn't in Jamaica with you for many, many reasons. But number one,
I would say Tony won that deal.
Yeah, Tony got the better of that.
Yeah,
deal. Yeah,
no
yeah.
doubt. 6 days. All he had to do was broadcast two games.
I know.
It was a pretty good deal.
Well aware. But one of the games that he broadcast.
No snow.
Yep, that too.
Really blue water.
Great food, I hear, down there too.
Yeah, Fonz gained, like, when he timed the ask. Fonz a question. Somebody ask him how much weight he gained down in Jamaica. I'm not going to say anymore, but if someone could remember to do that, that'd be great.
There's two words, all inclusive, that can do some damage in a hurry if you're not careful. but one of the greatest games that I think people will be talking about for years is that LSU game. Down 19 in the second half, down 16 with about 14 minutes left, and coming back and winning that game. As a coach, as a guy that's on the sideline hoping and praying that it all comes together, what's it like from your vantage point?
Well, it was really fun for about 15 minutes. Yeah. The other 25 weren't so.
Yeah,
wasn't so much fun. But you know, they can do that too. I thought they played their best game of the year. They did some things that they hadn't been doing, but you knew they were capable of doing.
Yeah,
and they got off to a great start. Smart, number one, hits two threes. I think he scored 8 points in the first 5 minutes, and then we shut him down.
Yeah,
and but they have. I mean. He's a very good player. Is it Mays, number four? Was in the Chris Paul camp. He's a very good player and a legitimate NBA prospect. And then they can play a lot of different ways. They're super versatile, unbelievably athletic. I mean, we had some shots right at the rim. Kuba went up for a dunk one time, and the Williams guy just comes out of nowhere to block it. And that guy makes some plays that I haven't seen many guys make. So. But you got to give our guys a lot of credit. We got down. We weren't great. Thought we were tentative. The last 4 minutes of the first half, last 5 minutes of the first half, we shot 11 in our last 14 shot attempts, 11 of them were threes. I thought we got off attack. Thought we just settled. Alfonso had a big offense rebound putback right at the buzzer that gave us like a little bit of mojo going into halftime. We were only down 14. I say only because, quite frankly, it felt like we should have been down by a lot more than 14.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought we were fortunate to be only down. And then the start of the second half, same thing. We were just kind of mindless. We got down 21. We called timeout, I think, down 19. And kind of lost my mind, quite frankly, on the team, and specifically a guy like Justin Bean, who was just playing tentative.
Yeah.
And that's not Bean. Like, he's not a tentative guy, and it wasn't. I'm not just singling him out, but to his credit, he handled it in such a great way, as did the team, right? At that point, a lot of times teams will look and say, oh, you know what? We're down 19. I'm going to get mine. We're probably not going to win this game. And then certain players will start going on their own deal, and they just kind of – same with football. You get down 3 touchdowns, that's a hard thing to – you know, or any sport.
Yeah.
And to our guys' credit, they really stuck together. And that was the biggest thing with that game, was we knew they were a team of runs, They can go on a 10-0 run on the snap of a finger. But you can go on a 10-0 run on them on the snap of a finger, too. So you just got to hang together, stay the course. And it's easy to say that, but to our guys' credit, they stood the test of time. And we cut it all the way down to, I think it was 7 or 5, and then it went back up to 11 or 13 again.
Went from 5 to 12.
And I think maybe a lot of fans are like, oh, they just, you know, they blew their chance.
Careful.
And, yep, I know. I had to kind of
rein
it back. And then to come back again, because I think that was around the 8-minute mark, and then we made play after play, made great finds, great reads, stayed under control, played together. Our press was very, very good for us. And even late, like we were up 3 and then we got down 1, but we found a way, you know, to figure out, got 2 straight stops at the end, created 2 turnovers so they didn't even get shots. And, of course, Abel made a great find to Sam, and he sticks the 3 to go up by 2. But that's a hard thing to do in a tough environment. It was a good atmosphere down there, and that was kind of our first in a lot of ways, true test with some new guys, Fonz in there, and Barstow and Kuba, and some of those guys have been playing some minutes that way. But what an exciting game, and it was fun to see the fans that were there and some of the compliments that they gave our team after the game in the locker room.
You know, the other thing, too, I wanted to talk about is, you know, winning kind of a tournament-style field there, even though it was kind of a round-robin kind of setup. It wasn't necessarily a bracket, but to come away with some hardware. That's got to feel good for your team, being able to raise a trophy early in the season and say, this is what we accomplished, because you can learn from that. You can carry on throughout the course of the season.
Absolutely. We talked about that when we beat LSU. I knew when the schedule came out and we played and they decided to put us against LSU right away, which we wanted because we wanted to be guaranteed to play what could be a quad one game.
Yeah.
And so you get in those tournaments, what if they would have got upset and we would have won or vice versa? Then you don't get that quad one opportunity. So it was exciting to – but win or lose that game naturally and the way we won it, there was a lot of emotion on display, which some of the viewers saw, and I got a few emails about. And there was a lot of emotion that went into that. And so basically we only played 6 guys that last 16 minutes of that game. So we had some guys with some really heavy legs on Sunday. But that's what it's like in March Madness when you play on a Thursday or a Saturday or a Friday and a Sunday. And that's what the conference tournament's like, where you're playing 3 games in 3 days. And so it was a great testament to our guys to be able to bounce back. We weren't as sharp as we maybe wanted to be against North Texas, but at the end of the day, in another tight game, we found a way to win. So it's exciting to play in that kind of tournament. You know, we thought we were going to be able to cut the nets down by beating North Texas, but there was another game after us.
Oh, yeah.
So we didn't get to do it. But you, when we put together schedules, we always want to play a tournament type of setting, a tournament type field. Next year, we're playing in Myrtle Beach, where we'll play 3 games in 4 days down there and in a tournament-type setting. And so I think it's very important to get that kind of a mindset and that type of feel. And then to be able to go to Jamaica, to me, and I've said this before on this show, the college experience is about the relationships that you make and the experiences that you gain that last a lifetime. And we have a lot of guys that have never been out of the country before. And so to be able to go to Jamaica and I think there's some bonding that goes on, you know. I think there's some things that go on there that they will truly cherish the rest of their lives. And that's a really cool experience to be able to have your players, have your guys in your program go through. Now, they get to enjoy it a lot more than the coaches do. You know, it's just like the radio guys, right?
Yeah.
They just screw around all the time and then go play.
Exactly.
I'm just kidding.
You know, you got 2 hours of work and 22 hours of just having some fun. All right, coming up, we're going to talk more about the St. Mary's game. We'll look ahead to a week of conference games, San Jose State and Fresno State. And we'll chat with our guest, Alfonso Anderson, joining the program. We're live here in Old Chicago. Come by and hang out with us. Brand new location, beautiful facility, just right here by the campus on 1400 North. You're listening to the Craig Smith Coaches Show from Learfield IMG College.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome on back. You're listening to the Craig Smith Coaches Show. We're live here at Old Chicago. Beautiful facility. We're excited to be out here every Monday throughout the course of the college basketball season. All right, joining us now, alongside Craig Smith, newest member of this Utah State basketball team, Alfonso Anderson. And by the way, welcome to Logan, man. How's it been for you so far?
It's been awesome. The atmosphere here is crazy. The fans, the town is lovely. I love it.
Yeah, you know, and I had a chance to chat with you a little bit during the Aggie auction, and you mentioned how excited you were to be here, but also how you felt like this was a really good fit. During the recruiting process, what was it about Utah State that really jumped out at you?
These guys came in the gym, and, like, their energy was just like high level. It was Coach Smith and Coach Rags, and they actually came in, and it was just like, I was like, dang, these guys are cool. And then I kind of got to know them a little bit, came on my visit, and I was like, this is where I want to be.
Coach, what was that? What was that recruiting process like from your end?
Well, likewise, like Fonz is obviously his talent speaks for itself. We can talk about that, but he's just a really good person. He's got high energy, and he's not feeling great the last few days. But he just has high energy. The way he carries himself, I can't tell you the number of emails and just different conversations I've had with. Friends of the program, boosters of the program, they're like, oh, I just met Fonz. Well, I just met one of your players. And I was like, oh, really? Who was it? And sometimes they know it was Fonz. Other times, like, well, and I was like, what does he look like? You know what? Does he have big shoulders, big smile, you know, all that? Yeah, that's, it was like, oh, it's Fonz. and he's made such a great impression around our community, in our basketball camps. That's a common theme with people that are around Alfonso. Yeah. It's just the energy, the way he represents certainly himself and his family, but our basketball program. And that was easy to see in the recruiting process. He's a stand-up person, right? He's what you see is what you get. And what I've been really impressed with is obviously the way he's played on the floor, but Fonz has really improved since the start of this summer to now. Yeah. And he's just very inquisitive. He's always asking questions. Like, he's not afraid to ask those questions. You know, some guys just kind of take it in and, like, pretend they know, but they don't know.
Yeah.
And then they go screw it up anyway. And so it's like Fonz is mature enough to ask the question, and he wants to learn. He spends a ton of time watching film with our staff, learning our terminology. We have a million sets. We have a ton of different terminology that doesn't always make sense. So we always say the best way to learn is to overlearn, and he's done a great job with that. And so what's exciting is he's had a good season up to this point, but he's only scratching the surface of how good he can become the rest of this year and going into all of next year.
For sure.
You know, and the one thing that, you know, obviously we've seen the talent on display, but with Kuba out against St. Mary's and maybe for a bit going into the future, you have to play a bunch of different positions.
Yeah.
What's that been like for you?
It's actually been great. Like I pride myself on being versatile, being able to guard multiple positions and make plays at all positions. So really, whatever I'm called in there to do, I'm going to go do it. So,
when you look at that St. Mary's game, you're guarding a guy that's much bigger than you. you got thrown to the wolves a little bit. What was that experience like for you?
I mean, they were a good team. They had some heavy bodies, but I just tried to use my leverage a little bit, move them out the way. But I mean, they were a talented team. Had some good players. So,
talk about growing up. What was it like in the in your house growing up? And when did you feel like, you know, I'm pretty good at this?
So my mom was a big time basketball player. She had Division I offers. I think I started playing serious basketball around like fifth grade, traveling and stuff, and just playing against all the top guys in the country or whatever, and just honestly playing, I feel in my opinion, playing better than them. I'm like, oh yeah, this is easy. So
yeah. And at that point, you're like, okay, I could probably do this.
Yeah, no
doubt. And talk a little bit about your path. You started at Montana, correct?
Yes.
And then to North Idaho?
Yeah, I went to a junior college in Missouri for a semester.
Okay.
Had another injury and then moved on to North Idaho and then had a great experience there and then was able to come here.
Coach, I know that you were so protective of that locker room from last year. I mean, it was such a great chemistry, great camaraderie. And so I know you wanted to be very, very selective of who you brought in to that locker room. And just anybody who meets Alfonso knows it was a good fit.
Well, he's very talented. He's a team guy, and he's a junkie. Like, he loves being in the gym.
Yeah.
And another thing is, because obviously we didn't recruit Fonz to be like a five-man. So, but circumstances happen in life and in basketball and that you don't always foresee. But, you know, going through the summer, I'd say, and one day I was in there, I don't remember if it was on the pad or something, but Fonz was posted up, and I'm like, whoa, this guy, like, you feel him. And so I love asking guys different questions about different players. And all those guys are like, Fonz is so strong. Like, he just, you know, you can't, it's hard to budge that guy. It's hard to move him.
Yeah.
And obviously he's got great length. And so, you know, what I like, some basketball players get so, oh, I'm a point guard. And they almost get like prima donna-ish. Like, oh, I'm a two guard. Oh, I'm a. In my eyes, Fonz is a throwback. Like, he's just a basketball player.
Yeah.
Like, you can throw him out there in a lot of spots, and he's just going to go hoop. Like, he's just going to go play. And I think that's a sign of, like, what great players do. No matter what the situation, they just figure it out.
Yeah.
And they learn to adapt and adjust. And so he's been able to do that. And really, the first time I met him up in North Idaho, the way he played, his exuberance, his enthusiasm, And then meeting with him faced like one-on-one, it was like, this is our kind of guy.
And it's been a great fit. And obviously you hit the ground running. You make your presence felt immediately. Did you anticipate you'd be able to impact this team as quickly as you have?
I think coming in for the summer, it was a tough transition coming from junior college. The speed is a little slower and everything doesn't move as fast. And especially our team, we move the ball so well. It almost speeds the game up double from what I was used to. So coming in, I was kind of struggling defensively and even kind of finding my own offensive game in it. But, I mean, working with the coaches, getting in the gym extra, I just started to get comfortable. And then, I knew I could impact the team because there was a need for what I can do. And so I just was able to show that.
How much fun is this style of basketball to play as a player?
Oh, it's great. The team, like, there's not like, there's a lot of times where basketball sometimes it's like, oh, we got practice. But I haven't felt that since I've been here. The team is great. The coaches are great. And going into the games is a great atmosphere. So it's just super fun.
Well, Coach, I you'll like this. So first time I met Fonz, we were at that Aggie auction. Justin Bean was there. And a couple of Diogo was there. And we were talking, and they both, all three have mentioned, like, today was rough. Like, I can't remember what you did to them that day, but it was conditioning or something. But, like, they got after us. But they all were like, you know, but we wouldn't have any other way, you know. It was really cool to see, like, apparently you put them through the ringer, but they loved every second of it. And when you get guys to buy in like that, I got to imagine that's when you start building a winning culture.
Well, it is. When you embrace the attitude and effort it takes to work or to be successful. And we have a thing, we haven't shared it quite yet with our guys, but it says, winning isn't normal. And that's the headline. And it just goes through all the, because it's not.
Yeah.
Like, it's not the norm. And it's not easy to do. And there's so much that, and you got to, and I know it gets a little cliche-ish with coaches and, oh, you got to sacrifice and you got to work hard and you got to do all that. And especially when you're good, because there's a lot of good players. So they're all sacrificing a little bit of – anybody can be the best player on a bad team.
Yeah.
Anybody can do that. But it's difficult to be selfless and put some of yourself aside for the benefit of the program when you don't know what's going to be at the end of the tunnel. There's no guarantee you're going to make the NCAA tournament. But I'll tell you, if you give it all up and you get there, it's worth every – you know what I mean? And so – so it takes a special kind of person to do that. There's by nature people are selfish, right? And so as a whole, I'm not saying,
no,
but
no.
So you got to give a lot up to get that kind of a thing. And so there's a lot that goes into it. And you get, you know, you have sicknesses and you have injuries and you have the travel and you have about a six-month season. And there's just and then you have all the other outside influences of this year, people telling you how good you are all the time. And you have to be able to just ignore all that stuff and understand to get better every day with whatever that is, your mindset, your recovery, treating your body right, eating healthy, all the things that go into it to be your best, you know, in that two-hour practice or that hour film session or that two-hour game, or be your best when you're 19 down to LSU, or be your best when you're 20 up on somebody, or be your best when you have bad officiating. You know what I mean? There's so many outside influences that come into play. And so Fonz has handled that stuff very, very well. And he's definitely trending upward and has been a huge asset to our program.
Going to take a break, come back. If you've got questions, we'll have the wireless mic. You can ask Coach a question. You can ask Alfonso a question as we look ahead to this week's games against San Jose State just 48 hours from now, and then wrapping up the week against Fresno State. You're listening to the Craig Smith Coaches Show from Learfield IMG College. Old Chicago, you're listening to the Craig Smith Coaches Show. We are, again, live here at our brand-new location. Old Chicago will be here every Monday throughout the college basketball season. Alfonso Anderson's with us, Craig Smith, as always. And if you got a question, feel free to raise your hand, and we'd love to hear from you. Ajay will get the mic out to you, and you can let your voice be heard. It's still early in the season, so all the questions, I'm sure, will be pretty easy and no big, hard-pressing questions at this point. But whatever you got, we'll take it from you. And see if you can get Coach to say no comment. All right, so let's talk a little bit about San Jose State, Coach. You're there coming up. And you know, I think we can be pretty honest about this. I've been to that arena a couple times over the last couple of years. You don't get a lot of juice from the crowd, from the environment there. You have to kind of create your own juice going into a game like that.
Yeah, it's very unlike almost basically every Mountain West Conference environment we play in, whether it's at home or on the road. And it's a difficult place to play in because of that. And it's a very what's the right word? It's not a hockey arena, but it's just the depth perception. Yeah. It's very long on the edges. It's a little chilly in there. And it's just a quiet atmosphere. So, we haven't played great over there. Last year we got off to a really slow start. The one kid, I think, hit seven threes. Who's Bauman, I think his last name was. He's not with them anymore. Yeah. But we got off to a very slow start. That was game five for us in league play. And then I thought we did some things to get us some energy, and then we took care of business, obviously, winning by about 20. But, they got a lot of new players. They have some returners, but they're very, very big. Their starting center is 6'8 or 6'10, 280. He's a house. He's like an aircraft carrier out there. And when he gets his spot, he's hard to move. And so, you know, we're not the biggest team in the world, right? I mean, we have a large team overall, but right now in that position, we're not the biggest team in the world. So we got to mind our P's and Q's. They're a very good offensive rebounding team, getting about 34% of their missed shots. And then you can see a couple guard. They haven't had a ton of game. Well, I guess they have had eight. But you can see some of the guys they were playing a lot early aren't playing so much anymore, and now they're playing a lot more other guys. So I think we have 11 guys on the scouting report, which puts a bigger onus on our players because we're big on personnel and how we guard certain guys. Are they a shooter? Are they a driver? Are they a hard right-hand drive guy? Are they a hard left-hand drive guy? And we try to neutralize, you know, their strengths and make them beat us with their maybe things they aren't quite as adept to.
You know, and you bring up a good point. When you're fully healthy, you're a very long team. That might not be the case right now. Trevin Dorius, I know, can give you minutes at the big, and he's a seven-footer, but you essentially have 2 7-footers that probably won't be available for you, and that takes some adjustment there.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. We have 3 7-footers on our team, and what makes us big, though, too, is just our, like, yeah. Alfonso's a, you know, 6'7", strong, right, athletic guy, and a guy, you know, Liam McChesney is redshirting, but he's 6'10 and is basically a guard. You know what I mean? Sean Barstow can play 1, 2, 3, maybe a little 4, but he's 6'7". So we do have big guards, you know, but certainly when you take 2 7-footers out of the lineup,
yeah,
it makes you a different team, right? And so, like we told our guys, just because you're tall and you've been a center your whole life doesn't mean you're our best center. And it's not, you know, I've said this probably before in this, but like football in some ways has these. Speaking of football, how about them Vikings? What? Oh, I knew it was going to happen.
It's not. It's
I know. Not, I know.
It's not very often you don't get the applause.
I know. I get it. I grew up in Minnesota. I'm a Viking fan my whole life. So I knew that would happen. But what were you saying? Oh, it's not like football where like everybody knows the quarterback's job. Everybody knows what the running back does. Everybody knows what the offensive linemen do. Everybody knows what linebackers are supposed to do. Basketball, not everybody can be the quarterback. And so teamwork and chemistry and all that comes into play. And so anyway, it's just one of those things where you throw the guys that are healthy out there and figure it out.
Yeah. Alfonso, what do you see when you look at that team on film?
It's a conference game, so just off of that, they're going to come in ready to play. We have a target on our back, being a ranked team as well. But they're a long team. They can get out in transition. They're streaky shooters, but they can get hot, so just got to bring it.
Fonz brought up a good point there. They're listed as the ninth tallest team in the country.
Wow.
Yeah, so they got a good size as well.
Yeah.
I want to also talk a little bit about Fresno State and what a fun 3 games you had against them last year. They got you in Logan. You went down to Fresno, got them there, and then really took care of business in the Mountain West Conference tournament. But that was a fun back and forth you had with that team, and I anticipate we'll probably have some more drama coming up on Saturday too.
Yeah, we play them at home on Saturday. I think it's a 4 o'clock game.
Yep.
And so, you know, hopefully we can get that place packed. We haven't had a home game at that point. It'll be about 2.5 weeks, and that's our last Division I home game of 2019?
Yeah.
Of 2019. And so, and obviously we had great games with them last year. And, you know, that was our one loss at home last year, went 14-1. And we're ahead most of that game. And they made Braxton Huggins made about a 25 footer with five or six seconds to go to take the lead. And then we basically, you know, Quinn Taylor made a monster three with 13 seconds to go at their place. When we were up by one, that put us up by four, and it still came down to a last-second shot. And then we really handled him in the conference tournament by a wide margin. But they are very athletic. They play a lot of guys. They have a freshman guard that can really, really play. Nate Grimes, I would expect to be an all-league player. He plays the four and the five for them. He's kind of a double-double machine. He's making threes this year, which he wasn't doing last year. And so, you know, they press a lot, so you just kind of expect a lot of different things that way. But they have a lot of guys that can make a lot of different plays for them. So, like we told our guys, man, it's conference play. You have 18 games, and, you know, every game is like a playoff game for us. Sure. When you're playing for an NCAA bid. And, you know, we're the defending champs. So, like we've said, and it's been said many times, you're going to get everybody's best shot coming into it.
And, I mean, this team dealt with that probably the second half of last season. And, you know, that's going to be the case going this year. The other thing, too, that I wanted to ask you about was, you know, let's take look. You bring up Grimes. He's shooting the three ball a little bit better. Do you look at an 8-game or maybe 9-game sample size, and can you determine, okay, that's kind of who he is now? Or are you still a little wary, still early in the season, of what guys can do and maybe mislead you a little bit in a game? I guess the question is that sample size good enough to determine who
the guy
is?
I think it is. At the end of the day, you know, like for our team, we're guaranteed 32 games.
Yeah.
31 regular season games. Everybody in the Mountain West makes the conference tournament. And it's easy for people to say, oh, but what we are guaranteed is 32 games. So 25% of our season potentially is already done.
Yeah, yep.
And so I think for some guys that's a sample size. Maybe for a few others not quite as much. But I think for that they're utilizing him in a different fashion. They're playing a little bit different style of play than last year. Last year they were just straight screen and roll, screen and roll, screen and roll, screen and roll, screen and roll. And now this year – he's ball screening and popping more. They're playing him out on the perimeter a lot more, so he looks comfortable shooting it. He didn't look bad shooting it last year either. He just didn't shoot it that much.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure that was his role, where this year they need him to be a primary scorer, whereas last year they had those 2 to 3 guards that could really, really score. So he was kind of like not as much of a primary scorer, where now he is.
Gotcha. Yeah. All right, I believe we have a question all the way there in the back.
Okay, this question's going to be for Alfonso.
Sounds good.
Alfonso, how is the food in Jamaica?
Oh, it was it was really good. I ate a little bit too much, but it was fun. I enjoyed it, getting to try everything, and everything was free, so that was the best part.
Hey, I love that kid. He won the tickets, he won the hat, and now he's giving Alfonso, I like it, a hard time.
Hey, I want to talk a little bit about Justin Bean, who's been off to a tremendous start of the season. And here's a kid who a lot of people remember the – and, again, correct me if I'm wrong on this one, Coach, but everybody remembers Abel Porter's big shot against New Mexico in the pit. And earlier in the week, he had been awarded a scholarship. I believe also at the same time you gave Justin Bean a scholarship at the same time. Is that correct?
Yeah, it was the same day. It was the Thursday before the New Mexico game. It was our – we had just beaten Colorado State, and that was our one of our bye weeks in league play. So it was a long week. I think we were 4-2 at the time. And Abel had just started his first game against Colorado State. Not that I'm like totally, but once we kind of made that change and just he started playing all those, but I think part of it too is just confidence, right?
Yeah.
And confidence is an amazing thing,
for
you know,
sure.
And makes all the difference in the world in any walk of life. And so, you know, like he said, he got pretty emotional in that meeting and he just said, this is a dream come true for me, you know, and not that he didn't believe in himself and not that he, but to just, I think he just felt like he truly belonged once that happened. And then 3 days, you know, 2 days later, he makes that shot in the pit and he's never really looked back, you know, from that point on. And Bean was the exact same day.
And Justin now the only guy in the Mountain West Conference averaging a double-double and doing it right now comfortably with 14 and 11. I mean, this kid is playing just great basketball for you right now.
Well, he's got a great nose for the ball, which is easy to see. Fonz found that out firsthand all summer.
Were you the one that broke the nose?
No, that wasn't me.
I thought when you said found the nose, I thought you meant literally. Yeah.
No, so, you know, Fonz and Bean were always guarding each other all summer, all preseason, because they were our fours, right, so to speak. So they were – and Justin, the one thing that Justin's always had from the time we got here was a nose for the ball and being a rebounding fiend. Like, he's just a rebounding machine, and he's – and obviously he's got 2-foot pop. Like, he gets off the floor quick, but he just – he's so instinctive with that, you know, with his rebounding ability. And Fonz, I think – both of these guys have made each other better, you know, all summer, having to guard each other, having to do that. And I asked Quinn Taylor, you know, who was a senior last year. I said, Quinn, like, who's the hardest guy for you to guard? And he goes, oh, without a question, Bean. I'm like, why? Because I can never make a clean hit on him on the glass. He goes, I just can't explain it. Shot goes up. I go find him. I think I have him. And he just slides right off me. And Quinn said that all the time. So Fonz missed a few box outs this summer. And we're like, Fonz, like, what is going on? Why can't you box that guy out? Of course, we knew, like, he's been doing this to everybody, you know, terrorizing whoever's guarding him. And Fonz just shaking his head. Like, you know, like, I'm there. Like, I'm like, and he never made excuses. But, like, he was, and he just has that ability to him. And so some guys just have a nose for the ball, and he truly has that. But so not only have those two guys, though, made each other better, but I think there's a synergy when those two play together. And so it's easy to see when Bean and Alfonso are on the floor together, there's like some yin and yang out there where they seem to find each other on some pocket passes, you know, when they look below them. What game? Oh, LSU game, I think. There was three times where he found him on just kind of pocket pat, and Fonz goes up and finishes with a dunk. And so, you know, I don't know if you've ever seen the movie. I told you I'm from Minnesota, the movie Miracle. Who's seen the movie Miracle? Right? The 1980 Olympic. Yeah. So Herb Brooks says two things that he said. First of all, they had the cone heads, and not because they were bald, but they had the cone heads, and they were out there playing. He's watching. It was like, it was like these three guys together became the Coneheads because they just had this like synergy together that's hard to explain, but it's like a natural, you know, thing that they had. And I think Fonz and Bean really have that when they play together.
Let's get to another question. Go ahead.
Hi. First of all, Coach, you should be a Seahawks fan, not Vikings, but it's fine. I guess my question to you is, can you talk a little bit about your obstacles, why you consider obstacles in the team and how you're overcoming them?
Well, first of all, Seattle, I really do like Russell Wilson. And I've always liked the Seahawks, but I'm a history major and I got a memory that's like I can't get over things sometimes. The missed field goal by the Vikings in the playoffs a few years ago. So I just, you know, and this year I think they have the same record right now. So this is a big game. We got to stay up with the Packers, and you guys are trying to stay one game with the 49ers. Not that I like, but I love the NFL. These guys get sick of me because I always use football analogies. And last year, Nimi's looking at me like, Coach, I don't understand. I just don't understand. And so, you know, that's how it goes sometimes. But you guys are leaving us already? Come on! I thought we were all in this together. So obstacles, you know, there's always obstacles, and every year, like, you're always saying, you know, you got to stay healthy. I don't care what sport you're in. Health is a huge thing, and that's, you can do everything you can to try to stay healthy, and that's nutrition, that's taking care of your body, that's trying to be as preventative as you can, stretching, mobility, recovering, your lifestyle, so it's all that. But still, you don't, you know, the other day, Sam rolls his ankle very badly against North Texas.
Yeah.
Well, you can't, I don't know how you prevent that. You know, he should have been wearing ankle braces earlier. Now you look at his ankles and it looks like he's got rocket socks on. Like, those things are like jet boosters. Like, he can go up to the moon on those babies. But so you always have that piece of the puzzle. Then, I think the thing that a lot of people, and I talked about it a lot, just, but people don't realize, yes, we return technically eight guys, but I don't count Roche and Clay Stahl because those guys didn't do one meaningful rep in practice last year because they both tore their ACL. So really, we only returned six guys, but one of those six is Nemeas. Well, Nemeas hasn't done anything since July. I mean, for all intents and purposes, since late July. So now you have five returners, right, that have – now – that's a big part of our production, obviously, right? Brock Miller, Sam Merrill, Abel Porter, Justin Bean, and Diogo Brito. So, right? But, you know, you're adding a whole influx of essentially nine new players. And so you're trying – and Marco Anthony's new, but he knew he had a red shirt, Division I transfer. So eight new players. So we're trying to figure out – how do we get the most out of Fonz to help him to be the best that he can be, which is going to help our team to be the best that he can be? What lineups and who does he play well with? What works well for Fonz? Where do we put him in a position to score? How can he be the best defender that he can be? And the same goes for Sean Bairstow. The same goes for Kuba. The same goes for Trevin. You just go right down the line. Who can play when it really matters? Like, you know, in practice, you got to see production in practice or they're not going to do it in the game for the most part. But there's also guys that can be practice All-Americans and they go in the game and they're nowhere to be found. Or you have some guys that are really, really good against the quote-unquote bad teams. And then you play against the good teams and they're nowhere to be found. And so you have all these. And then the other part of it is how do you handle expectations? Right? And so I think we have a mature group, but still, no matter where they go, they're being told how good they are. Social media, if you're believing all the hype or all the – one of our guys said to me, Coach, we dropped one spot in the ranking. And he looked, and I just kind of gave him the look, and he goes, oh, I know, Coach, you don't care about the rankings. And you know what? I don't. Like, I'm proud of our guys that we've earned that, right? But it doesn't matter. Like, it literally doesn't. Now, I know the fans love it, and that's great. Fans should be excited about it. That's great. But I've never seen a rank. Look at the rank. Michigan wasn't even ranked last week, and now I haven't seen the poll this week, so I don't even know where they're ranked. I'm guessing they're ranked.
Yeah, the top four. So they're number four.
So they're number four. They weren't even ranked a week ago, and now they're ranked number four in the country. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it is what it is. This is what I do know. When you look at the teams in Division I basketball around the country, there's so much parity, And if you don't show up ready to play, like you're probably going to get beat. You better be ready to compete. You better be ready to play. You better have a hard hat mentality that you're going to go prove yourself every night. Because if you don't, you know what I mean? It can end really, really quickly. And you know, knock on wood, one thing we did last, and I don't like talking about last year. Let's do that in 20 years. You know what I'm saying? But we can learn some things. But one of the things I was most proud of last year is we didn't lose back-to-back games one time. And that is very, very, very difficult to do. And we were able to do that. And I'd like to do the same this year.
No doubt.
Starting Wednesday.
Let's sneak in one more question. Go ahead, sir.
Well, first of all, Coach, you just said you want to talk about the past in 20 years. I hope you hear 20 years, first of all, so that'd be great. Second of all, with a lot of new faces this year, have you found that your coach on the floor or your vocal leader on the floor has changed? Or does it depend on your personnel groupings on the floor? I mean, I think Bean and Fonz are pretty vocal when they're on the floor together especially, but do you see that change or is it pretty consistent for you game to game?
What's your name?
Aaron,
that's a great question, and it's funny you say that. I actually talked to one of our players in a meeting today about that exact thing, and you know, I said last year on the radio show once or twice, Quinn Taylor was like our E.F. Hutton last year. Like Quinn didn't always say a lot, but Quinn was when he did, people listened, and Quinn was a guy that he's actually helping our program out right now. But Quinn was a guy that could relate to anybody. Like, I would ask Nimi, I've told this story too, but I asked Nimi right after Christmas in our individual meeting, who do you like playing with the most? Coach, meaning on the team, right? Coach, I love playing with everybody. I said, okay, Nimi, like, now tell me the truth. Like, who do you really love to play with? And it was, Coach, I love Quinn. I love Quinn. And Quinn just had that way about him. Quinn is very smart, but he's kind of like a man of, like, he could relate to anybody no matter who you were, where you came from, whatever walk of life, it didn't matter. He just was so relatable that way. And that was that's a cog that I'm not saying we're missing, but certainly who is that, guy that way? It's harder for a new guy. And Fonz is a very vocal guy, but when you, everything's so new for Fonz, right? Or whoever the new guys are. Like, so it takes a little while to really figure out what we're truly doing. Yeah. You know what I mean? Now, he still has a great voice. But so we're working through that a little bit right now because Quinn was like a coach on the floor. And Sam's very good with that stuff. I think Abel can be excellent with that. Diogo's really intelligent. So anyway, we'll see who that – sometimes that just kind of transitions through the course of a season. It's a great question.
About ready to wrap up the show. I did want to ask you.
Already?
Yeah, I know. It goes by fast, does it not?
Nobody asks how much weight Fonz put on.
One thing I did want to ask you, though, is you did make an announcement. Really? That's impressive.
Well,
that's what I call Tuesday.
I saw that bacon double cheeseburger come up. I'm like, oh, boy. He only ate one roll, though, so it was good. I'm just giving him a hard time.
I did want to talk a little bit recruiting. You did announce another signing to the class, Nigel John. What does he bring to the table, and what can Aggie fans expect from him?
Yeah, pumped about him. Both him and Raleigh, I think, are great additions to our program. Nigel is 6'10", and he has a motor that literally just doesn't end. Like, I don't know if the dude ever gets tired. Like, he is everywhere all the time. I saw him do a workout in the fall, and he's doing, like, the sled pushes. You know how you put the –
yeah.
And he's 6'10", probably, like, 230, senior in high school. Like, he's a big he's two-footed pop is off the charts. He's a great rebounder, excellent rim protector, dunks everything. Not quite as long as Nimi or Kuba or Trevin, but just super quick off the floor. He's a guy you can do a lot of different things defensively. And did you hear that?
Yeah.
And what are they trying to say in the headphones? That was an inside joke. But tough, physical, rugged, can score around the basket, makes his free throws. Even, I don't know if he can consistently do them, but I've seen him make some threes. So super excited. He visited Cincinnati the week before he decided. So he had some heavy hitters in there, but we're sure excited to have him in our program.
Gentlemen, look forward to catching up with you in San Jose and, of course, Fresno coming up later in the week. And get those tickets. Go to UtahStateAggies.com. And let's pack the spectrum coming up on Saturday.
No doubt.
And let's have a –
Hey, 50th year of the Spectrum. Let's ring it up in style.
Let's do it. That wraps it up for us. Big thanks for Alfonso Anderson and Craig Smith, and for you for attending. And, of course, Old Chicago, beautiful setup here. And we'll be here every Monday throughout the course of the season right here on the Aggie Sports Network from Learfield IMG College.
Thanks.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.